Scriptures, Mark chapter 2, verse 23, and we'll read on into chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' Then Jesus asked them, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus." Let us pray. O God, you have given us this day to gather and to be attentive, especially attentive to your voice. Help us to do that now as we listen, as you speak, as you show us more of your will and your way for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. There's a woman named Janet Weaver, and she talks about how she was teaching a class of children on the story of creation and decided to quiz them. So she asked them what God did on the seventh day. And one of the children, a dark-eyed three-year-old girl, her hand shot up. She said, "I think he mowed the yard." You may see some grass cutting going on today on your way to and from church. You yourself may even have some plans for taking care of your lawn, some gardening, or doing some other form of outdoor labor and activity this afternoon. The fact is that faithful followers of Jesus still differ exactly in various sorts of ways, still differ in their interpretations of what should and what shouldn't be done on the Lord's Day. There's always been a strong consensus about the call for God's people to practice Sabbath rest, and that has continued in a way, but there's still diverse opinions about exactly how we ought to do that in our lives individually and in our life together as Christ's people. I think this diversity of interpretation about the Sabbath is reflected in our scripture passage here this morning from the Gospel of Mark. Mark narrates two episodes from the ministry of Jesus. Both of them take place on the Sabbath. In the first one, Jesus and his disciples are walking along, pushing their way through a field of grain. That's okay. But then some of Jesus' disciples start to pick some of the heads off the stalks. That's not okay. Immediately, we're told, some Pharisees accuse Jesus and his followers of violating the Sabbath law. What they've done constitutes reaping, harvesting, which is prohibited on the Sabbath. So Jesus counters, in this case, with an example of David, from David's life, who once went into the sanctuary and took some of the consecrated bread in order to feed his companions. So if David, says Jesus, could commit such a sacrilege on behalf of his followers, how much more should Jesus and his followers be allowed to sort of violate the law in this case? After all, even the strictest adherents of the Sabbath law would generally acknowledge that human need takes precedence over the strict details of the Sabbath law. So in this particular case, Jesus argues that he and his followers ought to be given some wiggle room on Sabbath law. But notice, I want you to join me in noticing that Jesus goes beyond debates about just the minutiae of the Sabbath law. He goes deeper and turns the whole discussion in a different direction. He digs deeper and steers the discussion in another direction by emphasizing God's purpose in giving the law. What was God's intention in the first place? That's the kind of question Jesus dropped. What was God's intention in the first place? According to Jesus, God gave the Sabbath out of his commitment to the welfare of human beings, the welfare of humankind. The Sabbath, says Jesus, was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This issue of God's intention, and thus the intention or purpose of the whole Sabbath law, it comes up not just there, but also in the second part of today's scripture passage, where Jesus heals a man with a withered hand. As this congregation looks on, Jesus asks a very pointed question, and he aims it especially at some of the religious leaders who are there at this worship gathering. He says, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And at that point, you could hear a pin drop in the sanctuary. I like the way that one commentator has put it when he says, their silence is poisonous, for it says they care more about their custom than they do about their brother. They are more eager to bring Jesus down than to restore the man's useless hand. In other words, many of the people there in the sanctuary that day had lost sight of the fact that the Sabbath was given by God for human good, for the well-being of people and of humankind. They were turning God's gift, this gift of God, into an occasion to pursue their own agenda instead of an occasion to pursue God's agenda. Now, at this point, let me step back and say just a little bit more about how I'm using this word Sabbath in a pretty broad sense here in our sermon for today. Strictly speaking, the Lord's Day, Sunday, is not technically the same thing as the Sabbath, which is a weekly day of rest in Judaism that begins after sundown on Friday and lasts until after nightfall on Saturday. Most of the first Christians were Jews, and they observed the traditional Jewish Sabbath along with the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection. That was part of their practice. But with time, the early Christians differentiated themselves by focusing more on Sunday, which was the day the disciples had encountered the risen Lord. And so the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection, Sunday, became the distinctive Christian day for rest and for worship. But even so, to this day, the traditional Jewish term Sabbath is one that I often use, or that you often use, in a broad sense to describe the Christian day of rest and worship. Though technically they're different things, we still use that term Sabbath in a very broad sense. So I just wanted to note that as we go on through today's message. And having said that, let's go back to our text and reflect even more on what Jesus is saying to us about the Sabbath. As I indicated, Jesus warns us about what God intends as something given for a human well-being, and turning it into sort of a heavy, burdensome kind of experience that's driven more by rules or custom or tradition than by divine mercy. There's a preacher named David H.C. Reed. He tells about an experience that he had from his childhood. One Sunday he was whittling a piece of wood, and his grandmother came to him. He describes her as a strong-minded Methodist. And she asked him, you know, what he was doing. He said, "I'm making a boat," he replied innocently. "Well, they must be hard up for boats if it has to be made on the Sabbath," she said. Maybe you've had experiences in your own life that left you feeling like the Sabbath is basically a grim sort of day where the focus is more on what's prohibited, what we shouldn't do, what we should stay away from. Some views of the Sabbath have often focused more on what we shouldn't do than on what we should do, leaving us with the impression that faithful Sabbath observance can sometimes mean keeping a somber face, staying away from certain kinds of activities and inappropriate types of things. It's certainly true, I think, that the Sabbath isn't something to be taken lightly or to be taken casually. But being serious about the Sabbath doesn't really mean extinguishing the joy of this special day. If we look back into the life of God's people, Israel, we can see that the Sabbath was supposed to be a time of rest and refreshment, a time of fellowship with family and friends, a day to focus on reflection, on what God had done in the life of his people, the saving acts and the saving mercy of God in the life of his people. It was a time to pause and reflect on these kinds of things, a time to be renewed for the life and work of the days ahead. And the early Christians, in their gatherings on the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection, preserved and continued this sense of joyfulness about God's saving power and God's saving work in their lives when they gathered. For those early believers and for us, Sabbath practices, I think, help keep us in touch with God, and especially they help keep us in touch with the heart of God, whose will is to save, to heal, to restore. And we see it in these stories here from Mark's gospel today. There's a preacher who tells a story about, it's an old Jewish story, of a little boy named Mordecai. And Mordecai was very resistant to studying the Torah, the Word of God. In fact, usually whenever his parents insisted that he sort of immerse himself in the Torah, the Word of God, he would find some way to slip away and play on the swing set. Well, his parents especially were distressed about this. Every form of persuasion they tried to use failed. Mordecai was still stubborn and defiant. And so the exasperated parents even took him to a famous psychiatrist to see if he could make a difference. But even that effort, as it turns out, was futile. Nothing could change Mordecai's habits and practices. In fact, he seemed to grow even more distant and hardened about the whole issue every week. So finally, in utter desperation, Mordecai's parents took him to the local rabbi, who was a warm and kind-spirited man. And they were describing to the rabbi their situation and their frustration, their desperation about it. And even as they were talking to the rabbi, he took Mordecai and lifted him gently onto his lap. And he drew him close to his chest, gently enough, yet tight enough, for Mordecai to be able to hear the strong, steady, gentle rhythm of the rabbi's heart. He could feel the beating, the safe beating of the rabbi's heart. And then the rabbi quietly but gently, without saying a word, handed Mordecai back to his parents. And from that day on, Mordecai applied himself diligently to the study of Torah, to the Word of God, and when it was appropriate, would slip away to go play on the swing set too. Now that story, we think about how Mordecai was transformed or changed by getting near to the heart, feeling literally the heart of the rabbi. And I think it gives us insight into part of what we're doing when we use this Sabbath day, the Lord's Day, to gather for worship. It's an opportunity for us to come together and get close to the heart of God, to renew our sense of the very heart of God, to feel the very heart of God, who God is, what God's fundamental will and purpose and desire is. And in doing that, we are too changed, transformed. It's as if part of the purpose of worship is to get more of God's heart into our hearts by coming close to God and being with God in worship, to get more of God's heart into our own hearts and learn more about God's way for us, for our lives, for humankind. But I think that we don't stop there. We don't stop just by getting more of God's heart inwardly in us, but also expressing and demonstrating the heart of God outwardly by the way that we observe the Sabbath. Observing the Sabbath faithfully, I think, means not only rest and worship that brings us closer to the heart of God and His desire and His will for our lives, but also not just having more of the heart of God, but actually doing more of the heart of God, doing more of the will of God, communicating God's heart to others through lives of reverence for God and love of neighbor. The Lord's Day, like I was highlighting earlier, isn't simply about what we don't do. It's also about what we do in order to communicate the heart of God and the will of God to others. Not just a day to refrain from things, but a day to actively engage in things. That's part of what we do with this special God-given day each week. And I stress God-given because this day isn't our own creation, isn't our own achievement. It isn't our own accomplishment. It is what we call it, the Lord's Day. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. And it's entrusted to us to be used for God's purposes, not our own purposes. It's to be a sign of how really all time belongs to God, not just this piece of time, it too, but it's a sign of how all time belongs to God. And if it's God's entrusted to us, then we're to use it for God's will and desire and purposes in our lives and in the world. I think Jesus captures this in his declaration. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. The Son of Man, he says, is Lord, even of the Sabbath. As believers, we live under the authority and the reign of Jesus. And that includes what we do with our Sabbath practice, the Lord's Day, each week. I like the story that one person tells about a place in New York City. It's a business called B&H Photo. And B&H Photo is one of the largest photo and video equipment stores in the world. Really, there's only one bigger than it in Tokyo, Japan. Now, this particular store in New York City is run by a group of Hasidic Jews, and they still dress in the garments of their 18th century Eastern European ancestors. On any given day, there are 8,000 to 9,000 people who pass through the doors of this particular business. They also have a website where they do business as well, and the website is serviced by a 200,000 square foot warehouse there in Brooklyn. So pretty huge, as you can see, business. But even in a competitive marketplace like they're in, they don't do business on the Sabbath. Not on the Sabbath, or on about half a dozen other Jewish holidays during the year. They close their doors at 1 p.m. on Friday and keep them closed all day on Saturday, which is the biggest shopping day of the week. In fact, during Sabbath, customers, they can peruse the store's website, but they can't actually make any purchases during the Sabbath practice as well. So recently, one of the customers for B&H, photo and video, asked their director of public relations, why do you all close like this on the Sabbath? And in particular, why can people not even do business on especially Black Friday, the biggest shopping day of the year? And the director answered, well, it's simple. because we answer to a higher authority. Now, from a Christian standpoint, as people who believe that Jesus is Lord over our lives, including our Sabbath practice, I think we too can say that the reason we do what we do with this day and on this day is because we too answer and respond to a higher authority. So today, as really every Sunday, we're commanded to do what we do in keeping with the Spirit of our Lord, according to the will of our Lord, and in keeping with the purposes of our Lord. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And that means that we're called to take this God-given day of each week, to take this God-given day of each week and use it for rest and worship and to do good in ways that bring restoration and healing and wholeness to the lives of others. Let's pray. O God, who has given us this Lord's Day, we thank you that we have this day each week to gather and come close to you and feel your heartbeat and remember who you in your heart of hearts are and what you're all about, what your desire is for us and what you're doing in our lives and in the world to save, to heal. Help us to take that closeness to you that we experience here in worship and communicate your heart beyond here on this day and every day. Give each of us understanding and wisdom and guidance, the leadership of your Spirit about how we should use this day, July 31st, 2016, and how we should use it for worship, for rest, for doing good to others in ways that bring wholeness and healing and restoration. Guide us in that way the rest of this day and each day. We pray in Jesus, your Son's name, who is Lord of this Sabbath. Amen.